What is your name?
Gordon Dale.
Where were you born?
In Fazakerney, Liverpool.
When were you born?
6/8/1947.
What did your parents do for a living?
My mum was a housewife and my dad was an engineer. Mainly as a charge inspector.
Where did you go to school?
Went to school in Croxteth Primary and then on to Rainford High and then Formby High.
How long have you supported Everton FC?
Since about 1954.
Why Everton FC?
Well, I used to go to the match with my brother, and even though at times I used to go in the boys' pen at both Everton and Liverpool, when Liverpool got promoted, it was loyalty, stayed with Everton.
Can you remember what your first Everton game was?
Not really, no. I would think it probably would have been either one of the local games against Liverpool or it would have been an evening match, but no, I can't remember the name.
How did you get there?
A lot of the times we walked.
Who's your favourite player of the past?
Favourite player of the past was Brian LeBone, mainly because of his consistency and, you know, in over 500 games for the club, he virtually never played a bad game. And I think Brian Kenwright summed it up when he died, that he called him the last of the Corinthians, which I think was aptly named.
Was there any player came close to him, from your point of view?
Oh, there was lots of players that were, you know, brilliantly skilled, like Alex Young, but like all skillful players, inconsistent, played brilliant one week and average the next.
Does that mean that you were a defender when you were playing yourself, when you picked a defender?
Oh yeah, I played defensive myself, but that's not the reason. It's mainly because I like consistency and I like players that play 7 out of 10 or above in every single game. So consequently a team players rather than being individuals.
Who is your favourite player now?
Again, similar sort of Tim Cahill, mainly because, again, his consistency, and because that many people underrate him, that he becomes dangerous because they don't mark him, they don't think he's a threat, when he's always a threat.
You've just mentioned Tim Cahill, more of an attacking player than, say, Brian LeBone defensive. Is there anyone defensive that you quite like now, in keeping with your original answer?
Oh yeah, the Phil Jagielka, because again, he's the first 5 or 10 yards is in his head, and he reads the danger very, very quickly, and consequently doesn't need to be as fast as other players because he's there before the other players even start to think.
Have you ever met a player?
Yeah, I mean, Alan Ball was the player that we used to meet quite a lot, mainly because he played snooker for Formby British Legion, and he was in there all the time. He was a member of the Legion B side of the Formby British Legion, and we used to play for that team.
You mentioned Formby. There must have been quite a few players lived in Formby.
There was quite a lot of players that that lived there at that time, same as in Ainsdale as well. I mean, if you take the two together, I mean, managers, Harry Catterick, Billy Bingham, Howard Kendall lived in Ainsdale, but also Kendall moved to Formby, and Duncan Ferguson and David Unsworth and Alan Ball and John Connolly, you can go on and on and on. There was loads of them.
Who is your favourite manager of the past?
I think on performance, it's got to be Howard Kendall, in the fact that he brought most success to the club, and he didn't have the money that today's players have got, you know. And there was quite a few local players that played in the side, the same that is now under David Moyes.
What was your most memorable Everton match?
Most memorable? I would think it was the 1995 semi-final against Tottenham. We'd all, group of us, had gone down, and we decided to go in style, and we'd paid £79 for the tickets for the semi-final, and we went in the Leeds players' lounge, and everybody was expecting it to be a dream final between Manchester United and Tottenham, and the Everton supporters had three quarters of the ground. So Tottenham had one side of the ground and Everton had the two goals on the other side, and the atmosphere was absolutely electric. But the reason that was memorable is that I'd dreamt the night before that Matt Jackson would score the first goal, and convinced everybody on our table, because we had lunch in that lounge, to put a bet on at 50-1 on Matt Jackson scoring the first goal, which they all did. And when it got to about 30 minutes gone, everybody jumped up in the air and they were all shouting, "How much did you win?" And I said, "I've never had a bet on him scoring the first goal." So everybody else won money and I didn't. But the atmosphere in that game and the smiles on the players and Amakachi at the end, you know, if you watch that game now, it was so full of joy and passion that that's probably the most memorable game I can remember.
I ask you on the same theme, what was your second most memorable game?
Probably going to Wembley for the first time, and that was 1966 when Everton played Sheffield Wednesday. I was playing for Formby Football Club at the time and won tickets in a draw, because all amateur clubs in them days got two tickets for the final. Fortunately enough, I won one of the tickets and went down, and it was Everton hadn't been in the cup final for a long time, and the passion and the coming back from being 2-0 down, and Derek Temple scoring the winner, and that again was, I can even remember the man that ran the pitch with the braces on, which caused people to laugh rather than being today's would be frowned upon. And that game was again stands in the memory for a long time.
I'll put you on the spot. What was his name?
I can't remember.
How has going to a match changed? What I mean by that is ticket prices, programmes, half-time food, behaviour of fans.
I think today it's a lot more expensive than it used to be. I mean, I used to be an older boy when I was 13, getting 30 shillings. And I think Everton was 4 and 6 to go in the stand. So you could afford to go 6 times. But today, young boys would never have the opportunity of doing that because of the cost, pro rata to what people earn. And now it can cost a family up to £100 to go to a game. And I think to some degree that's the atmosphere and the passion is still there. And but I think people of 30, 40 years ago, the passion of loving football and then your team second, whereas today I think people are more passionate first and then football second. So I think the love of the game is not as strong as what it was. It's the love of your own club that seems to be stronger than the passion of the game.
How has the ground changed? Parking, stands, terraces, seating?
I think the ground is obviously, you know, Goodison Park, it's looking a bit tired, and it's, you know, it's obviously, it was in 1966 when the World Cup was on, it was looked upon as being one of the, you know, the most up-to-date grounds with, you know, with the top balcony and the main stand. But today, unfortunately, the ground, through lack of investments, is not up to modern day standards, both in the catering side and the, but, you know, I think, God willing, that's, you know, that's going to change over the next 10 years. But You know, I would not object to sharing a ground with Liverpool if that was the best way to go. And I think, you know, common sense rules, and I don't think either club can afford to go it alone as far as building a ground. And I think, you know, the atmosphere is still there at Everton, and it's because it's close to the pitch. But the facilities have got to improve over the next 10 years.
Do you have any match day rituals?
Only the fact that we like to get early and, you know, when the church is open, go into the church and have a cup of tea and a piece of cake and probably see people that you've seen over the years and have a chat and then get to the ground half an hour, 45 minutes before kick-off and again meet family and friends and basically that's most of the ritual really, you know.
Do you go with your family?
Yes, yeah, I usually go with sons and daughters and occasionally with my brother and a friend.
What does a Merseyside derby mean to you?
Well, I think derbies are all about winning, and unfortunately we haven't won a lot over the last 10 years, but I think winning is very important, but obviously the way you play. And I think the last game where we dominated was when Andy Johnson scored two and we won 3-1. I think that was probably the last one that we dominated. And I think Liverpool, to a certain degree, have resorted to not playing football and stopping us from playing football and using the strength to win the last three or four derby games, you know.
What's the furthest away match you've been to?
Well, again, in Britain, I would say again it's Wembley, you know, and been to Wembley quite a few times. Sheffield Wednesday, Aston Villa, and Manchester United, Aston Villa on the League Cup, and quite a few other ones. About Manchester United and Liverpool, probably twice. And I think the ritual of going down to Wembley is still as great today. And you know, going against Chelsea and Manchester United in the semi-final was very, very exciting in the new stadium. And hopefully we can repeat that in the years to come.
You didn't mention West Bromwich Albion. Did you go to the West Brom?
Yeah, I did go to the West Brom game. And that was quite funny because we went down. I didn't have any tickets. And in them days, they used to take people on the gate from all over the country, including people from Merseyside who used to take the money. And I was fortunate that I went to the outer gate, pretended to get a ticket out of my wallet and put £5 on the turnstile. And the bloke took the £5, which got you into the inner part of the ground. And then I asked one person to come out from the inner ground with stubs. Well, of course, in them days, people stood up, so you weren't sitting on somebody else's seat. Nobody, you could probably get another 5,000 in without anybody else noticing. But them days won't ever be repeated because obviously people don't stand up. But to actually get in without having a ticket was fantastic. But obviously be frowned upon today.
What's your favourite away ground and why?
I would say Manchester United, mainly because it's a team that you'd always want to win. And of course, you know, if you look at the attendance now, the 75,000-76,000 people, and I think to be the best you have to beat the best. And I think, you know, United's ground is the best because it's the best side. And I think, you know, that's what we want to achieve and get to that level that United are at.
Have you been to any internationals? Did you see the World Cups during 1966?
Yeah, and I went down by train with a few friends. We went to watch England versus Argentina. Unfortunately, it wasn't a very good game, even though the result was important because we won 1-0 and Racing was sent off. But the games that were more attractive was at Goodison Park, where we saw three or four games there, including Brazil. Unfortunately, Pelé went off, but the games at Goodison were really, really attractive, and went to about three of the games there.
What do you think about Everton and Liverpool sharing the ground?
I think on economics sense, to be using the ground 20 times a year is just ludicrous. And I think today you've got to look at the economics. And I think Robinson, the chairman of Liverpool in them days, the secretary, he wanted to buy Aintree Racecourse when it was up for sale in the 60s. And it just shows you how far-sighted he was, that if he'd got it, I think then the two clubs probably would have shared a ground. And I can't see anything really against it, apart from people just not seeing the wider scope, really, which, you know, obviously is economics. And we could have the best ground in the whole country, which probably seats 80,000.
Has football become too commercial?
Well, I think you've got to move with the times, and I think commercial is what commercial is what ends up paying for the wages of both the players and the people that's at the club, and obviously it ends up where it pays for everything. So I think, unfortunately, you've got to go with the commercial side of things, and I think even though some people say it goes over the top, I think it is an important part of revenue, and you know, you've just got to go with the times.
Can you tell me an Everton fact or story that most people haven't heard of before?
Probably the one of John Moores, where you know, people have always heard about him taking Johnny Carey for a taxi ride when he wanted to get rid of him, but the taxi ride was quite common for John Moores in the Littlewood organisation. He, when he found out anybody had either been cheating or robbing people or taking things at work, you know, there was one guy that was a buyer for Littlewoods who was buying wool for his wife who had a shop, and again he invited him into the taxi, gave him a cheque for what was owed to him, and paid him off, and he was never seen again. And that happened probably five or six occasions in the Littlewoods organisation. You know, in fact, Lord Grantchester once said, "Never get into a taxi with John Moores, because you know what's going to happen."
Well, thank you, Gordon. But before we finish, is there any other Everton fact or any other thing from the past that you may want to talk about?
I mean, there's hundreds of things, really. I'm just I think my mind's gone blank.
Okay, well, that's fine, that gun.
Okay.